dig it. How's it? How's it going, everybody? And welcome yourselves right on back to another episode of the only music podcast on the internet. We like bad music only. Like, it's safe to say that we're all probably going absolutely insane right now, but that's okay. That's okay. We got the gift of music. We got friendship, and that'll surely get us through. Guys, I don't think I buy my own bullshit anymore. Anybody else
Look,
freaking
it's
out?
A rough month. It's gonna be another rough month. That's just the way it is.
I figure everybody. I figure all of us are in the same boat. We're all kind of a freaking out. You know, 25 days and we're freaking out. It's not. It ain't looking good.
Yeah, I had a bunch of work stuff occupying my attention, and then that all resolved. So now I've got nothing else to think about.
Oh no. You probably won't hear from us by then, but everybody, it's imperative that you get out and vote, please. And also, don't vote for Donald Trump. Yeah, I know a lot of people always say, just go out and vote. No, we're going to literally tell you, do not vote for the fucking orange idiot. We're already fucked, but let's just try to not be as fucked. Can we try that?
Yeah, can we?
Yep.
Can we slow the descent a little bit?
A little bit. Buy me a couple of more good years. Come on, internet. You owe me at least that much. Look, I've given you almost 20 years of content. You can give me a couple years more of sanity by making the right call and voting. And then voting for the right... And voting the right way, because there is... Contrary to what people may tell you, there is a right way to vote.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I am, of course, joined by my good pal, Garden!
Howdy.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm surviving.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were some mistakes made.
Last night somebody got a bit of a sour tummy wummy, don't they?
Yeah, well, you know, I think five shots of tequila and four beers will do that to anybody.
You just wake up and hair of the dog that shit.
You know, I felt fine when I woke up.
My
hangovers are always a delayed effect.
My hangovers, like, I have to go completely absurd in order to get a hangover. And I found out that limit is probably like drinking about 80% of a bottle of vodka, mostly in shots. That is about the
10
point.
To 12.
Pardon?
I said, yeah, that's about 10 to 12. A standard fifth of alcohol is like 16 shots.
Yeah. I found that out one New Year's Eve. It was like, oh, yep, there it is. I thought I'm invincible and I don't get hangovers. And then I found out, oh, no, I actually do get hangovers. And then I couldn't have the really awesome barbecued rib dinner that I had wanted to make myself that day. Because it was like, oh, no, I can barely keep a graham cracker down. We're not going to try to pile a ton of meat on top of that.
Yeah. Now, luckily, I'm always smart about drinking the proper amount of water, so
yes,
I'm not suffering too bad.
I always do that as well, but I still think that, like, that's one of those things where if you're drinking 14 shots of vodka, you're probably getting hungover, and you're probably going to feel
awful.
Oh, no,
there's a cutoff point.
No, the water's not going to save you at some point.
It might diminish the effect.
A little. And, of course, joining us from Dadville, USA, it's Psychic Dad Vibes Heist.
Oh.
How's things in Dadsville?
Oh, God. It's been a crazy last month or so.
Yeah, like they took off your they took off your nose. You don't have a nose anymore.
They took off my nose, yeah. I had septoplasty surgery done.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know what that is, that's deviated septum correction. So that was pretty rough. I feel like the doctor downplayed it and was like, oh, you'll be uncomfortable for a few days.
It'll be just a little bit.
Know, yeah. I was like, all right. And I'm like telling my job, like, I'll be back. I'll be back, you know, on Tuesday. It's going to be fine. That was not the case.
It was not fine.
Just bleeding a lot, like just constantly having to change gauze out my nose. Mm-hmm. Of course, I can't blow my nose. Nope. And to put you know, more context in what it's like, they put these long kind of stents up there. My nose was blown up and it was swollen, like looked like Gandalf's nose from Lord of the Rings. And it was, even on pain pills, if like you just touched my nose, I was like, just it hurts.
But God, how do you even sleep? Well, you roll over in your sleep. That's got to be terrible.
And that's the other thing. Sleeping is awful. I would wake up and just be kind of like covered in blood because of the dripping and stuff.
Bet the wife loved that.
No, she was wonderful. She really took care of me.
I think you waking up covered in blood is just thematically appropriate for today, really.
Right.
I think it fits. I know, right? I think it fits.
Yeah.
But we're glad you're doing better.
Well, I was gonna wrap it up. Mm-hmm. It was when this is where I was lucky. This was before I knew the hurricane was gonna do as much damage around here as it did. But I was like, hey, there's gonna be a hurricane and there's probably gonna be some outages maybe. Can you bump up my post-op day? And they did.
They did
it on Thursday.
Thank God.
If I just waited till if I waited till Friday, I would have been fucked. And I would have been, because we were out of power for about 4 days.
You would not have been able to get that taken care of.
Medication.
God.
It would have been awful. When they took the stents out, it was like they were pulling slugs out of my nose. And it was blowing my mind because it seemed to go on forever.
Like, how far were these in my brain?
Yeah. And then, you know, when it was like time for the Grizzlers coming.
Oh, my.
I'm getting us ready for this podcast, this album. I'm like, let's be unpleasant. So,
let's be as unpleasant as possible. You are definitely tuned into the right podcast this time around. If you wanted something gross, we got a whole bunch for you.
It's a Halloweenish sort of album.
Yeah, it all kind of managed to time out perfectly.
But that moment that I could breathe.
Oh, I imagine that was
amazing. It was so fucking amazing. Like, they pull it out, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I can breathe.
You've never had an orgasm better in your life.
I mean, it's very equivalent. Like, that sort of, like, relief and release is like, amazing. Amazing. And now it's just weird that I can...
You can breathe.
Breathe out my nose. Like, that's normal. Like,
that's a thing that you can just actually do.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently I had like spurs up in my cartilage and stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I've been dealing with this for a very, very long time.
This sounds unpleasant. And like in a way that it's just like quality of life has to have shot up quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, there's still, even now, a couple of weeks after, there's still some soreness just post-surgery going on. But I feel like my sleep is better and improving, and I just like, and just being able to, like, that's amazing. So, yeah.
To stop and literally smell the roses.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So,
cool.
Yeah. And then awesome. Hurricane Helene.
And then you got hurricaned. You got rocked like a hurricane by a hurricane.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, I don't want to drag on too much on the woes, but I feel like I have lived a few lives or something in the matter of a couple of weeks, just the amount of stuff that's been going on and just all happening very quickly and feeling like you're scrambling.
So, might even say the last few weeks to a month have been a bit of an abomination.
Oh,
hey everybody, of course you know this show, you know what we're doing. This is the last show and tell episode of the year, of the first season, I guess we'll call this, where we've all had a turn This is where we each brought in an album that may surprise everybody else that that's a thing that we're into, and then we talk about it. And I, of course, chose Abominations, which is the 12th, I think, album by horrorcore rap duo Twisted. And that's what we're going to talk about. But since we are partaking of Juggalo adjacent music at this point, I don't know what their status as Juggalo is at this point, since they're not with Psychopathic, and I know that ICP don't like them anymore.
I think it'd be okay to say that of the time,
sure,
this was probably in that Juggalo.
This is definitely, I mean, the word Juggalo is mentioned, yes, a couple times in this record, so.
Yes. Yeah.
But
yeah,
in the spirit of doing that, I have brought with me a holy elixir known as Cotton Candy Fago that I will be partaking of during the recording of this podcast. So anybody else that has got themselves the holy elixir of life, feel free to partake.
I got Jazzin' Bluesberry because it was music themed.
Oh, nice.
So kind of tastes like blueberry, like one of those, you know, popsicles, mm-hmm, that if you let them melt, that's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, mine's blue too. Nice. Like the actual soda is blue. Like the can is kind of like pinkish. Mm-hmm. Pinkish and blue, and the soda itself is blue, and it tastes like a whole lot of sugar. which, I mean, cotton candy is literally just sugar, so, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But it's sugar. Got a little hint of some kind of berry-ish flavor in there that I'm not sure, but that's like the one Fago flavor that I know that I liked, so I thought I'd partake while we were talking about Juggalo-flavored music. How about you, Garden? are you partaking with us?
I do not have soda.
Ah.
Now, I've against my better judgment, I am gingerly sipping on a Lagunitas IPA.
I mean
that's a good beer.
That's a good beer, yeah. way to really, you know, take the assignment and do your own spin on it, sure. But
so one thing to understand is they literally do not sell Fago in Nevada.
Yeah, I think that's just an East Coast thing. Anyway, we are here to talk about the album Abominations. And I guess we just start doing this thing track by track. Is that how we do it? I can't remember. What are podcasts?
Yeah.
How do you do these things?
Yeah, we just.
That sounds about right.
You. Yeah, I think we're like, hey, what did y'all think about this track?
And if it's like a good track, you go, oh man, that track really put me on the good side of things. But if you didn't like that track, it might take you to the bad side.
I was born when I was baptized. I was born to walk the bad side. Nothing more, it's just a fact.
Genius. So I've still got it.
That's what we call an introduction.
And we are here to talk about the first track kicking off the album, Bad Side. It's kind of got this I guess, like, what kind of music would you call it? This is kind of like a southerny, bluesy, country rock vibe thing going on. What kind, like...
I call it swamp rap.
Yeah, this is like, very swampy sounding, isn't it?
Yeah, it's swampy. It's got, like, a stomp to it. You
yeah,
know?
It's
like,
got that nice four-on-the-floor stomp.
That's the vibe I got.
That sludgy bass sound.
The bass line is very catchy. I'll give it
that. Oh, it's real good. Yeah. The instrumental here is really good, though. And this is our introduction to the album, kind of. And it's kind of a good introduction to Twisted themselves with the way the song is kind of structured. It kind of feels like it's set to be like an intro, but it's still like a full song where like each dude kind of gets their own verse to kind of like do a little bit of setup. And then they blast into, you know, the way that they kind of flow. And you sort of get like each guy doing their own thing for each verse. And then you've got a nice little song outro to do things. So what are we feeling about Bad Side? Whoever would like to get started.
Well,
I can go.
Well, everybody's so eager. So many eager little juggalos here.
I have some notes on this album. Mm-hmm. I've decided I need to take notes for stuff.
Oh,
because every new thing I learn deletes something else I used to know. So, we got two MCs here. One guy's named Monoxide and the other guy's name is Madrix. Is that how you fucking pronounce that shit?
I think it's Madrox.
Madrox.
He's named after a comic book character. That's what I had heard. Jamie Madrox, I think is that if I don't know comic books, dude. I just know that like these guys are comic book guys.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
So Monoxide and Madrox. And Monoxide got the first verse, and then Madrox got the second verse.
Yeah. So what you'll discover with us over the course of this album is Monoxide's the guy who raps slower and has kind of a gravelier voice, and then Madrox is the Chatty Cathy one.
That guy can go. Just like wind him up and watch him go.
Yeah, he's the guy who's what do the kids call it these days? Spitting bars.
I don't think he's a lyrical miracle. Because I think that this guy's rapping about things, whereas like lyrical miracle spiritual rappers are always just like, what did you just say? Like that you didn't even say anything. You just said a bunch of words.
Word salad. Now,
his lyrics make sense.
Yeah. Jamie Madrox like raps really fast when he wants to, and his lyrics make sense.
Yeah. Now I will say that I'm starting from the general and moving to the specific after that. I think sometimes this album for me kind of feels like it's all the same tempo. So that's one aspect that I'm less hot on, but I thought that this was a really good intro. They do have some clever wordplay going on here, and since this is a rap album, I guess I gotta open up Lyric Genius and talk about some of this shit. Like just some hits from Bad Side here. We got "When they know I'm the M to the O-N-O, but you're gonna die in stereo."
Oh, that's so good.
I like
good.
That one.
Yeah, dude, he ties his name into a mono stereo joke. That's so good.
And so there's your Monoxide pull for the day. And then Madrox has... Ooh, what's a good one?
I like that.
God, he's so... There's like, so much.
I like the I'm a creature breathing a grenade with the pin gun ready to explode. Just give me a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That was fun. So,
but no, and I will say they always have strong hooks, and this is a pretty good one here.
Oh yeah, this is this is something that I feel like these guys are really inspired by rock music with the way their hooks play out a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, I was doing a little preliminary background, and I forget which one it was, but one of them said he didn't even listen to rap growing up. He listened to punk music.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think there's that comes through sometimes.
Okay.
We might be talking about that a little more a little later.
Maybe.
But I dig this one as an album intro. It sets the vibe.
It's a solid mood setter for the album, I think, and it sets up like that Abominations imagery that I think that they're going to keep coming back to. And again, I just like the way they kind of like they have like sort of like an intro for each part of their verse and then go into the verse and then do that again. Mm-hmm. Like, I like that setup. It's really like an interesting. I've not really heard someone kind of set it up like that, which again kind of gives me like rock music vibes with the way that's set up. What about you, PH? How you feeling about the bad side?
Yeah, no, I think we're going to be all in agreement on this. I think it's a great opener. You know, I had never heard of Twisted before. I haven't really listened to, I guess, you know, this sort of hardcore juggalo, you know, world of music. You know, I'd sampled like that ICP album.
Oh, yeah. The one that we were going to do a review on, but then it was like, no, this is an hour and a half, and nobody wants to listen to this.
Clown Drippin'. It has
Clown Drippin' on it. That's a great song.
this would be like my first sort of like proper, you know, mm-hmm. serving of kind of this world. It's a jam. I think it's a really, it has a really cool vibe. I like Halloween spooky schlocky stuff in general, so this is kind of my, you know, some of this is just the aesthetic that I just really enjoy, and mm-hmm. I think that's probably some of the best parts of this album are these beats, and the production is like really, when it's at its best, it really gives me that feeling, and I'm just like, oh, this is great, this is real fun. So and again, I also, a thing I enjoy is, to me, I feel like every song kind of can get me moving in a different way. And mm-hmm. You know, we mentioned earlier, this one's just kind of a good stomp sort of clap.
Oh,
sort
yeah.
Of
yeah.
Vibe
yeah.
going on. So, you know, it's the song that when I think of this album is kind of the first thing that kind of pops in my head.
Oh, yeah. Like it's such a good introduction. It just slaps you in the face.
Yeah. And, you know, I will say that I think there's times where, you know, certain styles are more emulated, mm-hmm. you know, like Madrox, you know, we'll just get it out of the way. You know, Yes is very talented at, you know, and really good at rapping it. But, you know, the emulation style also, there are times I'm like, I'm feeling Eminem, you know, like.
Oh, and, yeah. Like,
he's got a bit of that to him, yeah.
They're from Detroit, like, you know, they are in that sphere with Eminem. Like they had apparently wanted to sign Eminem at some point before he became famous.
That's interesting.
So obviously some history, and I am pretty damn sure that they obviously look up to Eminem as an inspiration, especially Madrox. You can hear it in his style. It's just kind of like, okay. Right. Yeah.
And also, I guess that kind of like Jonathan Davis sort of scream, you know, and now me down, bringing me down.
That's where the rock comes in. It's just like, I could tell that.
Yeah, that comes in there. So, and this isn't a bad thing. They're definitely, you know, they're not afraid to sort of wear their influences on their sleeve while kind of carving out their own style with the, you know, the horror stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I think the rapping is fun. You know, I do think there are bars across this album that I just might be a little cheesy for me. It's the kind of shock. You know, that's a part of this genre, right? It's the name of the game. So, you know, I'm not going to get too, you know, I don't know, critical about it. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I think that there's an inherent cheesiness you have to have there, especially when you were like ICP adjacent. Like, this is not horrorcore in the same way that other horrorcore rappers are horrorcore. This is obviously not horrorcore in the same way that something like the Clipping albums, like there existed an Addiction to Blood.
It's much more serious.
Those are deadly serious. And like, you have some of that here, but they're like really just kind of playing with the imagery in a lot of fun ways, I think.
Yeah. And actually, we'll wait, I guess, because that's those are moments when I'm like, when they're like going kind of serious is when I'm like, you know, it doesn't come together. But yeah, mm-hmm. we'll wait when we get to those parts.
All right.
But yeah, yeah. Good, good track.
And we move on to the following track, Unstoppable. Cause you feel like the dark of the night, or a song that's yours, cause the beat's so nice, and the lyrics so right, and the grip so tight, that you're blown away like it was dynamite. Is that the reason that you're feeling you're attracted? Are you compelled by the need to build a casket? I know they probably want to label you dramatic, in your efforts to bury it in the sadness. So many just succumb to the madness, others reach for lights amidst of the blackness. Is it the need to elevate that attracts us? We're too set up on a superficial status. Like a break in the chain, you're a crack in the window pane, same with hate till it's broken away from frame to where it's your range. Everybody else seem to remain the same. You're looking for acceptance in places you're never gonna get it accepted. I painted faces rejected, and I'm my nation infected with so much hate you collected. How can you see you didn't expect it all to go this way, like bad directions? They're looking at me like a weapon. We got the world at attention. We're like this great invention. They're all too afraid to mention. Shun me like bad intentions, but we'll see who really had agendas and misconceptions. I don't wanna be in your fucked up life fucking intervention. How are we feeling about Unstoppable? This is kind of where I feel like the album kind of like, oh, like you have a bad side and they're like, oh, we're just locking in here now. We are going to ride this mood for a little bit. They kind of don't really change it up. You know, you get a lot of albums where you'll have that intro track and then you'll move the tempo a little bit or you'll change the flow of things a bit. But the Unstoppable kind of continues down that same path and it's got that really kind of creepy Jeffrey Dahmer interview sample at the start, which kind of, again, keeps us in that mood. Did you know that these guys are really good at rapping?
Yeah, this Unstoppable is my favorite song on the album.
Oh, this one just this one has a moment that literally, like, when I first heard the album, I had to rewind it like 6 or 7. Did he just do that? And I bet you know what it is.
Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. Like, I remember, like, the first time here, like, whoa.
Did he just do that?
This is hella good. I talked about the first song kind of, like, stomps, but I think this song kind of struts.
Oh, God, this song's swag, man. It's just strutting through with big old rappity rap balls.
The beat is fun and kind of changed up a little off kilter. The production's fantastic. I like the kind of the haunted vocals in the background. There's like this tiltness about everything. It's like you're the way you kind of move in and of course it changes up, you know, near the end, where it gets really crazy. To me, this would be, I don't know. Again, it's not like this isn't a genre that I'm super well-versed in, but I think you could have this as a fantastic example of the genre. Be like, hey, listen to this. This is what hardcore is at its best. It's my favorite song on the album. So,
we're peaking early.
It's fantastic. We are peaking early, so maybe that kind of, you know, foreshadows the rest of things, but I love this track. Yeah, it's definitely just fucking fire. So
Garden,
I like it. This one took a while to grow on me because at first glance I was listening to the hook and I'm like, oh yes, this is that hype myself up, uplifting rap kind of thing.
I kind of like what they're doing with the hook, because since this is an album that is very centered and focused on their image as underground and you know, again, being viewed as abominations, I like that imagery of, like, I can reach for the stars, but I'll end up down here, as in, like, the underground. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, like, how I took it. And I think that just really works.
But this is one of those things, is compared to the last one, the verses from both dudes are a lot longer here. And they certainly this is where like the actual horrorcore thing kind of starts for me. Like out of the ordinary, I want more to bury, full of more gore than a chopped up whore making torture porn in the middle of a mortuary.
It's so wholesome.
No, I mean, as a horror movie fan, I'm in support of that.
Sure, yeah, like when you were playing with the imagery and you're going that hard with it, like that is another one of those bars where when I heard it the first time, I was like, holy shit! Not only just like by that imagery, but the way he rhyme schemed that whole little like two or three bar bit, it's like Jesus, yeah. That's so
it's
good.
It's clever.
Yeah, it's really good.
So yeah, this is a good one. This is not my favorite song on the album, but I'm digging it. Again, it feels like they stick to a tempo that accommodates the light speed bars.
Yeah.
that they're fond of.
I think that's what's happening here, because again, this is an album where they both took a year off and just went and sort of honed their abilities, and I think that they very like this album does not sound a lot like some of their previous stuff, and they're not like really like this is kind of like what seems to be the start of where they started adopting this more technical approach to their music. So like if you go listen to like okay. Most Tasteless or Freak Show, which is like the only other two albums that I'm familiar with of theirs, they're not really doing this, you know? So it's just like they took that time off and came back and like wanted to kind of like show everybody, guys, we can like rip ass on a microphone, by the way. And I think maybe
we can actually rap, motherfuckers.
you know, your whole career, you get put beside ICP and you're never given your chance to kind of like not be seen as ICP Jr., which is kind of a thing that like they were sort of seen as for the longest time. And it's just like, well, you got to separate yourself one way or another. And it's just like, well, why don't we just out rap them? Which there may be a there may be a moment later where that becomes a thing.
Oh yeah, totally. Yep.
The moment I like in this song is that Jamie Madrox verse where he's just going and going and going and going. And there's a line about an Eskimo with a voice from a soul, carry on like an echo, carry on like an echo. And then they just play an echo. They just repeat the line and it's just echoing. It's like, oh, fucking get out of here. I had to stop the first time I listened to the album. I literally rewinded that fucking bar like 6 or 7 times because that's so good.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, this is a fun track. Again, it's just kind of like picking up where that what that first track was putting down. It's solid, you know, continuation of the themes of the album, and also just like, oh hey, we're also super talented now.
Leveled up. They're unstoppable.
They are unstoppable, and they are more than capable to rep that wicked shit.
Bow down to the wicked and put that swag shit in a backpack. Get it a bus ticket somewhere back there. I can't fuck with it, I'm not mad. Sheep throwing at me with the flavor that we've had. Right now with skinny jeans and weak raps. Rehab stats, I'm the reason you relapse perhaps. I've been waiting for them gates to come back. But all they worried about is a price tag and made backs.
Broken and bruised from battling with the best eye. Represent almost everything they detest by. Being a pain and freaking beating on my chest. My hit a razor back, hoeing bananas, watching shit fly. It's a story of my life, and why is it desperation that's always getting me by? With a hatred like mine, it's unbearable to describe.
This is for the freak shows, this is for the killers. Middle fingers up to people that don't get us. This is for the graveyard, this is for the dead. Everybody else will go to hell instead. I rap that wicked shit to the day that I die. It's a worldwide homicide. If you have a twist to them, let's begin our journey to the darker side.
I want my mind for turning paper because I'm being
ready to rap that wicked. Do you rap that wicked?
I'm repping the wicked.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a chainsaw soldier with insane ideas like fucking dead chicks and taking the world over?
Well, I can take the world over, that's for sure.
We got that tempo change you were looking for.
Give me all your chainsaws.
Yeah! We got that tempo change you were looking for.
Yeah, that's true. We did get a... We're a little more upbeat now.
So how you feeling about repping the Wicked?
So this is I like, again, they got, I like the hooks. I always dig the hooks on a lot of these songs.
Yeah, like their, again, their hook game is really strong. And this is one where it's just like, man, I bet this hook just goes off live really well.
Wow. This is for the freak shows. This is for the killers.
Yeah, like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's one thing I will say is compared to the last two, the instrumentals that they're rapping over here are a little less memorable. But you know, it's one of those things that the rapping and the lyricism really is the showcase thing. Yeah, on an album like
this is
this,
very
so
much
I can understand.
This is a song that's about Wicked shit, but it does not sound like a Wicked song, whereas the first two kind of had that like dirgy, dingy kind of feel, and this one feels much more like, all right, here, like if we were going to release a single, this might have probably been it.
Yes.
To me, it sounds like, my note here was like, it kind of comes across as like a carnival to me, like it's very carnival-esque.
A dark carnival?
A dark carnival, perhaps?
Yeah. There you go. You know, and it it's got a fun sort of off-kilter little organ part and piano, the way the piano keys are in there.
Oh, Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, anytime you do something cool with like a chainsaw effect, I'm like, yeah,
yeah, it always
give it to me.
Put it in there. Let's do it.
Yep. Yeah, so this one definitely reminded me of a group I haven't listened to in forever.
Oh?
From the Detroit area. That would be D12.
Oh, God, yeah. This has got shit. Yeah, it's D12 vibes all over it, doesn't it?
Yeah. But did you know D12 released a mixtape this year? I was like, they're still going?
They're still going?
Yes. Why?
Yeah, they're still going.
That's crazy.
I think it's really fun. I don't think the track is as good as the first two. Mm-mm. But I it's not actually a bad thing here. I think it still keeps energy up. I absolutely agree. I think this would be amazing live. I think the crowd would just pop off.
Yeah.
You know, when it goes off. And yeah, it's really good at just kind of keeping the energy going. You know, like, I will say, you know, lyrically, the whole sentiment of like, if you're not with us, you're a vagina.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's literally this fucking killed me the first time I heard this song. You know, first, for one, I've literally never heard somebody just called a vagina. and then Madrox in the background, pussy.
Yeah,
like, as if you needed that, you know, just to elaborate, just so we're sure.
Yeah,
it's decent comedic timing. Yes,
it's really good. Like, they knew what they were doing there. These guys are funny. So
yeah. Yes, and so, but you know, again, it's also sort of this like middle finger up to the world kind of jam.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's still a groove. It's still a jam.
I wipe my mouth with toilet paper because I'm spitting the shit. it's so silly. Like, it's so silly. You gotta enjoy
really
it. You gotta enjoy it for just the silliness that it is. But I'm with you. I think that it's just a fun little jam song. Like, you know, we had our atmospheric start. We you know, we like, hey, like, this is the tone. But there's all, you know, we gotta feed the fans some hype jams too. The concert's gotta be hype every now and again. So we got one for the freak shows and the killers, you know.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then we follow that up.
I was gonna ask.
Uh-huh.
When you look at the album cover, do you think he's looking at me?
Damn, look at you. We're going to try to do all these, aren't we? Good luck on that last one, man. I don't know how you're going to pull that off. So the next thing we jump into is our first skit of the album, of which there are three or four, which I think help the running time not feel so bad. They function as fun little transitions, and it's just a silly little scenario that I feel was probably improvised. We get our first little skit of the album, and it's just this cute scenario. They apparently kidnapped the guy, and one of the dudes won't stab him because he keeps looking at me. I want to stab him, but he keeps looking at it. He just keeps looking.
Give me that knife.
I love it. Like, turn him around. What are you going to do, stab his ass?
Snap this motherfucker.
And it's just a silly little 45 second throwaway thing that I'm probably not even going to play a clip for because it would literally just be the whole thing.
I don't know. Usually skits and rap albums like fall flat. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I think all the skits except for one on this album are actually really pretty good.
Yeah.
And every time I listen to this, the way he says, "I'm sorry, I'm nervous. It just makes me laugh.
I like the, that's a lot of blood.
That's a lot of blood. Just, I laugh out loud every time.
Sorry. I'm nervous.
I'm sorry.
So good.
And, and it's perfect prep. It's perfect prep for the next song. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because if you're going to stab somebody... Then I guess blood is all you need.
Inhale, exhale, entrails everywhere. Stab me too. If you can, for you die, make it fair. What am I, a masochist? So what if I love pain?
Stab a couple hundred times.
Sharpen knives and play the game. Blood splattered everywhere. Must have caught a vital one. Blood loss turning pale. Tell me, are we having fun? I ain't close to being done. I still got some blood in me. Standing there tripping till I run my life's expectancy.
Expecting me to be anything less than a it's not gonna happen. I give my life to the stab, and I like the flame that would drag, and I like to burn everything that I've captured. But I'll stab so many holes in your body that the burning, it doesn't matter. I'm a human disaster, and all I wanna do is take a knife and go right through your back, sir.
All I'm looking for, all I want is your. When I feel like I'm finally there, I bring it more. When I'm thinking like, what the fuck am I stopping for? I should not be stopping for anything but your spinal cord.
First time when I was listening to this album, I was like, oh, now we're in the fun stuff, aren't we? This song's just, hey, you know, you guys want a fun ass song about stabbing, and that's just all this song is.
Yeah, I think this one's my favorite on the album.
It's so fun.
Am I reading correct that this song is about like stabbing racists? Like,
yeah,
this song is about getting rid of racists.
There's at the end
there's
of
a bar in there.
Yeah, yeah. Got to take a chance and stab in a trailer park behind me, but I wait till dark because that's when the racist remarks start flying out of their mouths. I'm about to invoke a race riot. Well, I'm about to do my part and erase white in the rest of the crowd like a chalkboard. Monoxide's going back into the trailer park and he's gonna stab all the racists, so hey, good for him.
He's doing the Lord's work.
Yeah you can't hate juggalos, man, because they a lot of them hate racists, all right? So
yeah, it's helpful. It's helpful. Now, this is kind of the hook on here is definitely the most rock oriented chorus on the album.
Yeah, and definitely ramps up. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so
good. You got a four chord guitar riff under it.
Yep. Yeah. Like I feel like they could have gone with some heavier drums, but
well, just even then though, I just like, you know, a song that's about kind of like a blood rush, right? Just they do a really good job in just how it's produced to give you that feeling, that jolt when you hit into the chorus.
It still hits. I think the drums could have been bigger in the chorus, but but other than that, like it's like that chorus is real fun.
Yeah, I think like from what I understand, because I was just sort of looking into like Wikipedia stuff, so this is very shallow. But kind of like themes of juggalo music is like there's usually, you know, like some sort of stabbing song, you know. So I think this is a good, you know, good example of, you know,
we met our stabbing quota for this album.
Right, but it's you know, and it's over the top, it's over the top, but it's also like they're just having, obviously having a lot of fun with it. It feels like the kind of song that would have scared politicians in the 80s and 90s, you know. So but yeah, yeah, it's just nice choppy guitar chords, and it's just, I think it's pretty satisfying track all around.
Yeah, definitely nice enjoy stabby one. Guitar chords.
Yep, there you go.
I wonder if they brought someone in to play the guitar, or if this is sampled from something.
I'm pretty sure. I think maybe it's probably synthed. It kind of sounds like synthy guitar to me in a way. But that's just how my ears are picking it up.
Yeah, maybe. But it's definitely got a rock and roll vibe that I appreciate.
Yeah, yeah. It's got some fun energy to it. It's just a stomper. This is another song that's got so many good quotables in it. It's crazy. Like, just go look at the lyric sheet for this song. It's so good. And I also love when, like, a sound effect is used to accentuate a part of a song. So that always makes me happy. Like, with, I think it ends with, like, all I want to do is take a knife and go right through your back, sir.
Yeah, like, stab me too if you can, for you die. Make it fair. What am I, a masochist? So what if I love pain?
Okay. Like, it covers all elements of stabbing and or being stabbed. And of course, if you've gotten stabbed, you're going to be knocked to the ground, and you might need someone to help lift me up. If only I can get away from everything, spread my wings and then fly. You can't stop greatness. It has a way of shining through any gimmick of fake shit. My aspirations to make it. Don't make it easy for somebody trying to do it for real. Better believe me. Fly with me. Flap your wings slow, feel the ground beneath your feet, begin to go away from me. I'm excited with energy, a vision, a clarity, rise above the storm of solidarity. And your popularity is a drop in a barren sea, and apparently you're nothing but average. I'm a dangerous package, drown you all in my daydream. I'm laughing like a jackal as I spread my wings and elevate free. I know you hate me, but in the grand scheme deep in your heart, you want to thank me, cause we're the same weed. All looking for escape from pretty much the same thing. Lift me up in life, the pressure's so heavy that I feel I'm falling to the wayside. If only I can get away from everything, spread my wings and then fly. Lift me up. I know I wasn't born to deserve to be called a failure and die. If only I can get away from everything, spread my wings and then fly. So we jump into a track that it takes a bit more of a serious turn. We're bringing the tempo down. We've gotten all that nervous energy out of our system by repping the Wicked, and we got all the blood that we need. So now it's time to shift things down a little bit and move into something a little more serious. This is a turn on the album where things get a little more personal. I think that you can tell from the performances on this track that this is a bit more heartfelt and passionate. With just how forceful and how just emotive each performance is on this track. So that's kind of where this one's going. How are we feeling about Lift Me Up?
Of the balladier songs that are present on here, this is one of the ones I like better. Mm. I don't mind the tempo switch, because we did get a few more up tempo stuff.
Yeah.
So it, on balance, it helps. But yeah, there's definitely there's no talk of fucking dead chicks.
Not in this one. No.
This one's definitely going for a different sort of a sincerity thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like the line, getting out of hand like dropping a baby.
But yeah, it's one of those. It feels like this is another element of, since they were still very much in the juggalo mindset here.
Yeah.
That's definitely another aspect of all of those juggalo bands, is you need your shoulder to cry on songs too.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta have that. Yeah. Juggalos have feelings too, Garden.
Yeah. I guess so.
when juggalos cry. It's going to be the next big ICP thing, right? Juggalo tears or some shit.
When jugs cry.
When jugs tears. Cry! What about you, PH?
I don't know if that sample's going to clear, though.
They'll get Jack White to help him. They'll get Jack White to help him.
Hey, that's right. He probably would.
He would.
It's a big tonal whiplash, you know, kind of going from, you know, chainsaws and stabbings to mournful strings and benedictive, like, gospel singers. So,
yeah.
I like the album when it's kind of kitschy and horror, and it's in that mode. And I do think this song sort of signals that this album isn't always going to be that way. Mm-hmm. And the way that the groundwork was laid in the kind of our first five tracks. So, in my opinion, I think these kind of switch-ups to the kind of actually don't work well for me, kind of to the album's detriment and my enjoyment.
Sure.
Now, I don't think this song is terrible, and I don't think
it tanks
the album.
You'll be curious to know this is the second most played song on this album, according to Spotify.
That's amazing. That's crazy.
There's a stat later that's going to blow your mind.
I don't think this is the worst thing ever. I understand its appeal. I could see why maybe some people really get connected to it. It's just the kind of song I think is just way too heavy-handed for me. So heavy-handed for me.
Gotcha.
And you know, it's just too jarring when it's just like, okay, we are serious now, you know. When I listen to the song, that's kind of what goes in my head. We're serious.
Now we're serious. Take us serious. Yeah. We're artists. We're being introspective. Yeah.
So again, it doesn't clog up anything. Mm-hmm. And you could say the switch up is kind of nice for the album, and you know, to kind of maybe prevents things from getting too samey, so to speak. But it definitely has a good enough kind of hook about it as well. So I'm in between on this one.
Gotcha. And yeah, again, I get that. It definitely feels like there are certain bands where they're just like, okay, now we've got to have like this song. Now we've got to have
that's how it feels like this song.
And it's like, all right, we got to have the serious brooding song now. Like they definitely do feel this album does go through a couple of cycles where it feels like, okay, now we have to have the song.
Right.
Now we've got to have the Juggalo anthem. Now we got to have the song. There's definitely some of that going on, and I'm not even like familiar with but like a couple of their other albums, and I can see, oh, okay, I think I know how this would line up if this was like Freak Show or something. Like I can see how that fits in.
Well, hey, at least there's no auto crooning.
There's not. No, these guys do actually make honest attempts to sing. There's nothing that sounds like it's being modulated at any point for anything that they sing, so like these guys put in the time, like, and they've got good voices for it, so.
Now what up, world? Welcome to my level. Remember me, I'm the devil. Obviously, I'm really not just really hot, like I got the cops with me. What's everyone's problem? Indeed, a question I ask so oftenly. Publicly, you reported me, but behind closed doors, you reported out to see. I'm from a whole nother dimension where demon flicks and chicks are big tits. My attention when I painted up looking like a freak show headed for a mind convention. Blue screws, I'll admit it, you can hear it every time I hit it. I don't do voodoo, but start to finish, I'ma put a little darkness in it. Motherfuckers come get it. I'm just a little bit different, but I guess it doesn't matter to anybody who isn't. I'm on the ladder with extension cords about to jump. Losing interest in living, I'm heading up. Like a comic book shop, I got a
right,
back.
Now welcome to the
chords. It's got a good groove.
God, this song's so fun. And again, tonal whiplash out of nowhere.
Big time.
We've got our very serious brooding song followed by a song.
Yeah, a very humorous, ridiculous song.
This song is so stupid. And the extension chords is spelled like music chords.
Chords, yeah. Yeah. But I kind of think it's, for me, I think I always underrate this song. I kind of forget that it's on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes on, I'm like,
Oh yeah.
This is one of my highlights.
Yeah. It's just so fun.
Yeah. It's just very silly. And I think, like, lyrically, it's kind of in that, like, horrorcore lane. But, like, I think beat and production-wise, it actually feels more like a throwback to, like, early 90s, like, East Coast kind of rap.
Yeah, this is very... It's a weird beat.
Electric organ, like, little parts. You know, you know? And I like, there's the lyric. I'm going to paraphrase, but, like, hey, I'm the devil. You know? Like,
it's what just up, like, world? Welcome to my level. Remember me? I'm the devil.
I picture like some old cartoon.
Yeah.
This would be like, that would fit in some sort of like almost Cuphead style. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. You could do like a Cuphead music video.
Oh,
this,
God,
right?
You probably could. Yeah.
Absolutely. Really fun. So, yeah, I underrate this one. And every time it comes on, I'm pleasantly surprised. It's kind of like, oh, I didn't give this a chance, and this is really, really good. So, yeah, I enjoy this one a lot.
Yeah, like a comic book shop, I got a lot of bad issues, many sad stories for snot rags and tissues. What about you, Garden? Any other thoughts?
No, my notes on this one are groovy.
It's so groovy. It's groovy.
It's so freaking groovy.
It's just a fun little groove.
Ugh.
It's a song that you're not going to sit around and get all too depressed about, you know. And if you do, I mean, there are places that you can call. You know, you could, for instance, you might want to call the psychopathic psychiatric hotline.
Oh God, this skit is so fucking cringe.
Oh, give me a break! It's silly as shit. I think this is funny. I think this is funny.
I'm going to tell you why I don't like it. I have a very specific reason.
Okay.
Do y'all remember a band called Zeromancer?
God, that, yeah?
So, the only song they ever sang that anyone would know has a fucking hotline call in the middle of it like this. Thank you for calling 1-800-SUICIDE.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, that was just the farthest thing from my mind when I heard this skit, though. I think it's just basically the premise for this skit.
Is that Doctor Online, that song?
Yeah, that's Doctor Online.
But the skit's whole premise is it's just the automated system for a psychiatric helpline and all this stuff. It's like, if you suffer from necrophilia, press 1, but we highly doubt you're suffering.
I'll give him that. That one is funny.
If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and a 6. If you're paranoid, we know who you are, what you want, and we're going to kill you.
If you are,
yeah. I think this skit was kind of cute. So I
don't know. They at least they don't go on too long.
Yeah, like it's like a minute.
It doesn't overstay its welcome. Yeah,
like this is just like a nice little break in the middle of the album. That kind of like carries you out of side A, I think. And then you know you kind of jump into. I got a good transition for the next one.
It's a flip.
It's a flip. We flip the record like you were to maybe flip a coin if you were a lunatic.
I ain't the one, so they calling me number 2. And it's true, cause I'm the shit with the attitude of a mosh pit. I come equipped with a cord and a flip border and 6 short and a wick, and I can show you just how gory it gets. Yeah, I'm more than a twist, and I got the ID to prove it. But the only witness, the chainsaw right through it. Person of interest, not me, like Lacey, I'm scot-free. And first in a short line of people with cannabis, my influence, it might be them shoes, cause them Nikes been telling me to do it. So somebody hand me the knife, please. I'm about to lose it like the sleeves on a white beat. Congruent with an even and a regular human could not be like me. I give a fuck, I'll rob a zombie and put some nickel in his back. I'm a chainsaw masker on crack, and I got the spirit of Leatherface inside me.
It's a coin flip lunatic featuring Royce the 5'9", who is an Eminem adjacent fella, who's also a weird anti-vaxxer and Trumper guy. So he sucks.
Well, you know, Donald Trump's political career hadn't really gotten started when this song
came
out.
Not at this point, no, no. But he was probably still a weird anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, well, when did this came out in 2012?
12, I think.
2012? Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. So the birth. No, well, Trump started the birther stuff. So
yeah, he'd already started the birther stuff. So
yeah, yes, that was in the makings.
Yeah. But this is kind of like your start of the second half of the album, kind of just like, hey, it's like a fun little 2 minute rippity rap rap song. There's no hook. This is just, you know, here's three verses and go.
Yeah, no frills.
This is no frills. These are just dudes kind of doing their thing. I give a fuck, I'll rob a zombie and leave a nickel in his back.
That's the best bar on this thing.
It's a great line.
I think I enjoy like the first two thirds of this song.
Mm-hmm.
But like by the 2 minute mark, I've had my fill. Mm-hmm. And
I think if you take that Royce verse out, it's probably better.
yeah, actually.
I just don't like that. I don't like that verse at
it's
all.
It's not good.
It doesn't.
Yeah, it's not good. It's just boring.
It's not what the other two are doing. Like, the other two are doing this play on the coin flip thing and you know, murder stuff. And he's just in the middle, like, I've got, like, tuna fish or something. There's a tuna fish line in there. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, like, Jamie Madrox's verse is, like, Two-Face. What's his name? The Batman villain guy, I think it's what he's going for with coin flip lyrics. Yeah.
Well, Harvey Dent.
Yeah, I think that's what he's going for. He might even mention Harvey Dent in the lyrics. I
put the district attorney body on layaway, so I ain't got to buy the judge. Well, Two-Face was a district attorney.
Well, okay, there you go. That might.
I wouldn't be surprised. You did mention their chains. They're obviously chainsaw guys. They're comic book guys.
Yeah, they're chainsaw comic book guys.
You ever read Hack Slash? it's about a hot girl who kills slasher villains.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's all right. It's pulpy. It's definitely got twisted vibes. That's why I'm thinking about it.
These guys know it.
Nothing to say about this song. To me, this is the least memorable song on the whole fucking album. I don't even have notes for this.
It just feels like a transition song to me to the second half of the album, really. It's still kind of along with that psychopathic psychiatric hotline thing. It just kind of feels like a mid-album, like, all right, now we're switching gears.
It's a little like padding.
Yeah.
You know, I will say every time I start to listen to it, I'm like, oh, is it going to open up to me this time? And then I kind of forget why I don't. Well, I was like, why don't I like this one again? And then as it continues, I'm like, oh, yeah. It drags in the last third.
It's the second third, I think. Like, I think if you killed that second verse, like, and it was just the Monoxide and Madrox verses, it would probably be fine.
Yeah. And, you know, there's some fun, like, screeches and yells and knife slices in the background, you know, like, you know, to throw it some praise. But overall, it, you know, it's a bit monotonous. So, yeah.
So you're saying it's not your anthem?
It's not my anthem.
Well, maybe the next track that we listen to will be.
Look into the eyes of a people who rather die than live long enough to fall victim to suicide. They've been stripped of all but pride in the shell of their former self. Become captive to the weakness, too afraid to ask for help. How to reach, no one hears their opinion, they never speak. They persist to treat the world like a dream as if they're asleep. They're convinced that everyone is above and rightly beneath is where they belong and always were and will remain to be. Never believe their eyes are too closed to ever see like cataracts. Only see in silhouettes of reality. You never know, cause you're never being on the inside. Always outside looking in if that's fake. And you pretending you know it just how it feels. Cause it's always the phony ones that's telling you keep it real. And it's always the lonely ones that's begging you not to go. But life is too fast to live that shit slow.
Okay, so this is the bluesy kind of. This is more bluesy. This is very kind of. This is another bluesy stompy song. This kind of like you're doing a worse version of Bad Side almost.
Yeah, this is another one. I like this song more than the last one, but
yeah, I like this song. I think the song is fine. I think this is just like, oh, here's our, like I said, here's our Juggalo anthem song.
Pretty much.
This one is.
This is one of the songs where they actually mention Juggalos.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, this song is a little too good old boy Trump rally sounding for my taste.
God. And I know these guys aren't that.
I know that.
But it's just like, it's just that sound that you hear right now.
It's
like
the sound, I think.
You could hear some fucking boring white guy with dreadlocks rapping over this about Trump and owning the libs.
Yeah.
That's what this beat. Like, if this song had a different beat but these same lyrics, it would probably be better.
Okay.
Where's the This Is Your Anthem remix? Because that's probably better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I mentioned before, when the album kind of takes off, you know, switches off hardcore, because to me, this is just not, this has nothing about, like, kind of the, you know, the hardcore stuff that I like.
Sure, yeah. This is, there's nothing really dark here. Again, it's just like, hey guys, we're Juggalos, we're awesome, like, we're underground.
Yeah, it just the album kind of goes downhill for me. So I can see where it might appeal for others. I'm kind of, this song I think overall just kind of ends up being a bit boring. I will throw it a bone. You know, I think the whole, like, screaming, this is your life soundtrack, and, like, you know, that's kind of good. That's kind of punchy.
Get
that's
more
got some
screams
stuff
like that in there. I would like that.
I want more screaming in my music.
Yeah,
you know?
I would like more of that.
Yeah, but, yeah. I would say close to being my least favorite track. So, yeah, that's my favorite.
I will say I think the second half of this album drags a little bit more than the first one does.
I agree.
But at least, you know, like, at least it's not a total abomination, right?
With nowhere to be, I'm in love with killing people for nothing notoriously. Just give me the axe and you'll see, split you in half the speed. So you beg me to kill you a little bit faster, please.
I like abominations a little more.
We reached the title track.
Title track.
I like the dirty ass synth. Like, I like this. I like the instrumental on this song a lot.
Yeah, no, there's something gritty about this one.
Yeah, like, especially like when they drop the snares and are just going with the kicks, and you just got like the fucking whirring and shit happening in the background with like the bass building up as it, you know, as somebody's doing a verse. It's just that sounds so good.
Yeah.
And this is the track where ICP makes an unfortunate appearance. It's just like, why?
Yeah, there's the...
If ever there were a moment, like, why would you want to put... What? Good Lord. Because the ICP verse is just both of them on the middle verse, and it's sandwiched between Monoxide and Madrox just going the fuck off. And then you've got ICP in the middle with, like, I've been called a monster so many times I'm turning green. Like, what?
You're like, oh, you guys.
The gulf between these two acts could not be any more apparent in terms of, like, ability.
Yeah, it really is. Again, as somebody who can safely say they've never listened to an Insane Clown Posse song as long as I've lived,
mm-hmm.
I've literally fucking Magnets, How Do They Work is the only thing I've heard.
And that's not a terrible song. That's not a terrible song.
Yeah, it's just a goofy verse. But so I have no fucking clue what ICP music even sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
But I hear them on here and I think to myself, oh wow. Usually the feature comes in to show up the headline artist, not the other way around.
They came in and just got dumped on. And it's like, did this happen before or after the fact? Like, did they know what these other guys have done yet? Or did they just let ICP come in and then do their stuff next? Or like, what was the order of operations here? Title track, Psychic Heist.
I think this song is a brick. Like, I think it is lifeless, dull, repetitive. I think you hear 30 seconds of it, you've heard the track, and it just goes on. It's a 5 minutes
it's five
and four
minutes.
Seconds.
Yeah, baby.
I think it gridlocks the pace of the album substantially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's really any kind of interesting flavor about it. I think Madrox and Monoxide's rapping is pretty reserved on it. And of course the ICP feature is just worse.
just a big turd in the middle.
Yeah. Every time I listen to this album, and I've listened to this album quite a bit now, you know, we've been cooking on this for
things got busy.
Things got crazy.
You got your nose taken off, so you had a lot of time to listen to music.
Right. I did. And it would get to this song, and I'd be like, oh, do I have to? You know, like, even, like, trying to, even trying to analyze it just critically,
mm-hmm.
it was like, shit, do I need to go through this? Will I find something I like here? I just, no.
I think this is just a what? I think it's the fact that every time they do the hook, they do it twice.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem. I
think it more favorably if it was a lot shorter.
Like, I think if they just did the hook twice on the outro and then faded out, I think that would work. Like, if I was the arranger here, I would have told them, guys, like, that's too much hook for a hook that is not that good.
But yeah, that's the thing. The hook is just kind of
yeah. It isn't quite up to the standards of some of these other hooks,
no.
Is it?
I mean, the rest of this, like majority of the hooks, on they pop somewhat. Mm-hmm. Even in the songs I'm not particularly like, they still get me moving up in a way, like lift me up, you know, like there's just, they have fun with it, and it's very colorful. You know, I don't feel any kind of color in the song. So, this is drab. Sorry.
That's totally fine. There's nothing to apologize for. It's a review show.
And I think, like, it's unfortunately, it's like, it kills the album in a way that I think the rest of the album kind of even struggles for me. You know, it's like, I was kind of on the previous two songs, and then this hits, and it's just like, oh, that's the kill one, isn't it? Like, that's the
kill shot.
But they do kind of get back on their feet. I'm not saying it completely, you know, takes things completely off the rails, but yeah, it's just one of those sort of like, boy, I don't ever want to hear this again.
I like this song. I think it's fine. Like, I don't really have a problem with it. Again, I think my biggest issue is it's too much hook.
Yeah.
If you had to take those hooks down.
The repetition was the...
Brought those hooks down a little bit. Brought that down to a nice, tight 4 minutes. Get rid of that ICP verse, too.
Yeah.
It just adds nothing.
Yeah. The ICP adds nothing. Who'd have thought?
Who'd have thought? Kind of leaves me distressed. It leaves me feeling like I'm unable to cry for help or escape from a seemingly impending evil. We're making them work, goddammit!
The best transition episode ever.
we're trying so hard. I'm proud of us.
We're making it work.
A lot of heavy lifting there on the transition. Yeah.
So we got another skit. After maybe what we'll consider the darkest part of the album, maybe this is like we're closing out. Maybe we'll consider this like a transitional gateway out of Oh Nosville, and maybe we can step back into the light a little bit with this. It's just a kind of extended little horror. It didn't need to be 2 minutes.
It's long.
It's like 2 minutes and 40 seconds, and it's just like, I get what you're doing here, but this is something you do like at the start of an album.
Right.
When you're trying to set a tone, when you're doing like a concept record or something, and this just kind of doesn't work for what you're doing with it. I get how it ties to the next track, but it probably didn't need to have. In fact, I think the vinyl actually removes this. I'd have to check my copy.
Well, the other thing is the tone of the skit itself is like, most of, you know, all the other skits are actually just pretty like funny.
They're lighthearted and funny.
Humor kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
This is just like, no, we're actually trying to like get you unnerved and kind of like, you know, spooked a little bit.
Yeah.
And be unpleasant, you know. And it just kind of, it has me scratching my head. Like, well, you know, this doesn't feel schlocky. You know, I don't know if the whole line about, you know, they shot the dog is supposed to be funny.
Like, is that supposed to be your moment there where it's schlocky?
But it just, it's a big whiff overall. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just kind of, a little out of place. So, but, you know, it didn't give me any kind of nightmares.
Dark of the night, in the midst of a dream or a nightmare, when nobody can hear you scream, as you fight to awake from your sleep, and you shake in your bed in a dream, and the evil is creeping, crawling. I keep calling out for some help, but I feel like I'm falling. Can I get up and shake off the nightmare? But when I look in the mirror, it's in front of me right there, staring at me with those eyes again, making it harder and harder to try to. It's just okay, I'm sad and lonely, alive with nothing left to say. Help now, why is this happening to me again? I'm reaching for reasons I can never send. Demons to hell where they belong, and all along I'm wanting you to help now. To get up, I'm falling back in a bed. I'm reaching, the gun is pressed to my head. I'm hesitant, not sure I want this to end. These nightmares, they just want me dead.
So how do you feel about those nightmares?
It's not bad, because this track kind of goes back to the swamp rap feeling, of the first song, with a really funky bass.
I love the bass. The instrumental on this track is really good. It gets stuck in my head.
It's about a return to form. I do think its chorus is like really ham-fisted and unwieldy, like na 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 na. And I just feel like I'm kind of like back in my seat, like okay, you're doing a thing.
Like, again, I think this is like,
are you gonna drop the pizzas? I don't know. Are we playing Jenga right now? Things about to fall? I don't know. But
I think it's very much a case of like, all right, we're trying something here.
But you know, like, after like Coin Flip Lunatic, This Is Your Anthem and Abominations, I feel like the rapping here is at least back, and they're funnily like the life is back into the rapping.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, there's fire in the belly, and you know, that's when it kind of dawned on me, like, I think I really like this album when it's just Madrox and Monoxide. Like,
yeah,
I think that's when I'm like really down, you know, for this. So fun track, you know.
Yeah, like I like the sing-songy verses, and the way that they attract, the way they each kind of individually attack their verses is really interesting. And I do kind of like that weird like bridge too that they've got there. Again, this feels very it's very much structured by like a rock song. And so it's, you know, like, and again, with it looks like Madrox doing all of that stuff, including the hook. Like, he's probably, I'm gonna guess he's our rock, punk rock guy, since he's the one doing most of this stuff. So I'm gonna say he's probably the one masterminding some of these more rock focused and oriented decisions.
Yeah, I think so. Again, I'd have to double check. Mm-hmm. But I remember reading this on Wikipedia.
Sure. So what do you think about Nightmares?
You know, I think if I went back and listened to this one on its own, I'd probably like it a little better because it's got, you know, the catchier hooks and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But since, you know, when I do this, I just listen. I just let the albums play and I don't go back and spot check songs for these. Sure. This song, unfortunately, is a victim of the fact that the second half of this album just drags. So I might like this better upon subsequent re-listens, but at the moment I ain't got much to say about it.
Second to last, but second to no one. Your mama's mama's great granny's mama's up in this
bitch. Yeah. Like Stevie, make them wonder why we're staring out of eye, but they still can't see me. I'm on your mind like a beanie, blessed by the son of a fiend through a cassette in a CD. So many wish like a genie that I would just go away, but I'm everywhere like graffiti. I want it all, not a piece, I'm greedy. Wanna increase everything while I'm here and my heart is beating. Shooting for the stars is easy, it's not falling apart when you are one. Believe me, I'm so far from the cheesy, but I'm sharp, keep the cheddar in the blueprint parked in the same place like a new whip in the dark. So when I'm through with leaving a mark and abusing everything from the music to making movies, you can start feeling like you're the first one to do it. But right now we're the only ones who see through it. Yeah,
all I need is one night, one night, one day. All I got is one night, one story, it won't change.
Your mama's mama's great granny's mama's up in this bitch.
What the fuck is it? Did they pay him for this? I hope to God he did not get paid to do that.
Yep. Yep. It's Shaggy.
It's just Shaggy screaming.
I forget which one is Violent J and which one is Shaggy too, though.
This one's Shaggy. He's just screaming about your mama's fat mama's granny or whatever. It's
like, mama's mama's great granny's mama's
granny's mama is up in this bitch.
And yep. It's just, did you get paid for that? Is this like every artist on Psychopathic has to have ICP on their record at some point so they can get points on it? Is that it? That's what I'm feeling. Probably. That's what I'm feeling that this appearance is. It's the song starts and it's just Shaggy screaming over so here's, you know, this is kind of like another one of those rap songs where I feel like, oh, y'all are just doing the thing that sounds like today, huh? Or the today of 2012, or this is like
a
rap song from 2012 and y'all just wanted to make one. That's okay.
I don't remember what rap sounded like back then, so.
It sounded a lot like this, I'm pretty sure, if you looked at stuff that these guys, I'm sure, would be into, like Lil Wayne, Rick Ross, things of that nature. This is probably what that sounds like.
Yeah, I don't actually dislike this song. It's just, when you put it in that context of like, oh yeah, this this sounds like this would have been a kind of a rap song trend in the early 2010s. I completely agree, because to me this track just feels like it should be on another album.
Yeah,
like
it doesn't belong in the same universe at all.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't belong in the universe. Even the beat itself's kind of vanilla, not really. You know, if you like vanilla, fine. But, you know, it's just not super surprising. And, you know, there's albums where, like, the kind of the really out of place song can be, you know, fun or unexpected and delightful. Like, Smack Water Jack, when we listen to Tapestry.
Yeah, there you go. You know? Like, that song just kind of, like, hits you upside the head. Like, oh, right, there you go. Yeah.
But then on this album, this is just kind of like, Oh, all right.
This is your first before your final track. You know, this is the track before the last, and that's always the most awkward track. Like, again, the track before the final actual song on an album is all, it's always going to be a crapshoot. It's like, is it a good song or is it just a boring or shitty song?
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely the, time. Oh, I'll go take a piss while this is playing.
Yeah.
I will say, like, for a while, I kind of like misheard the, like, kind of the you know, the R&B sort of vocal there. Mm-hmm. You know, when I thought she was singing "All I Need Is One Mic," and I was like,
"You're making that reference?
You can't do that." Yeah, just like you can't do that. But it's "All I Need Is One Night."
Yeah.
So lyrics on Genius saved me on that one.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yeah, just a inoffensive song. That's probably what you don't want on a record like this. So
yeah.
When you're out the other.
Yeah.
This song's, again, considering the more braggadocious nature of this, you'd think they would have gone for something more like the vibe of Unstoppable or Rep That Wicked.
Yeah, like it just kind of doesn't really even feel like they're kind of doing anything with their image here or trying to leverage anything kind of about what they're doing. They're just kind of doing rap guy stuff. There's not even like any kind of quotable in here, or it's just like, oh, you know, I feel like you could go through most of these songs and pull out a quote and be like, yeah, that's clever and or funny. And there's just nothing in this one. I mean, unless you want to count the Shaggy Too Dope yelling about your mama's, granny's mama's being up in this bitch.
I'm saying that's the best part is your mama's granny's.
God damn it, Shaggy Too Dope. You did it again.
Really is, isn't it?
Big ups to Shaggy Too Dope.
Ruining everything.
He made this one good. That's the only reason it's good. That's the only reason this song's good. Damn it, Shaggy Too Dope. We'll get you yet.
I'll be damned.
We'll get you yet. You just wait. I've been very, very cold and lonely since Shaggy Too Dope went away.
I'm an example of a bad example, and as ample as it may seem, as simple as this poisonous apple, and maybe right out of daydream, but I'm giving you reality checks, and if you get it, then it's properly spent. If you can't handle it yet, give me a sec, I'll make you proud of me. Status surrounding me, totally hounding me, expecting me to be like all the rest. And I gotta be honest, I'm not sure who the fuck I am on a constant basis. So many faceless faces that I'm faced with. Who the fuck am I? What a shame. It's not so much a lies, I'm just lost in a mind, trying to find what it is that makes me feel right inside. And I'm submerged by the urge to make it right day and night. I'm in a struggle, looking to fight for the right to be more than just alright. See what they got in store for my life.
That brings us to our actual closing track, our final track for the album, LDLHA, IBCSYWA, which stands for Love Don't Live Here Anymore. It's been cold since you went away. And before anybody says anything, I want to mention this. This is, with over 7 million listens on Spotify, the most popular Twisted song on Spotify.
Wow.
Even surpassing their actual well-known charting songs like Secondhand Smoke and We Don't Die.
Wow.
This is the one. This is the song everybody grabs onto. The plinky piano-y ballad that's obviously very heartfelt. I think you're doing something here. I think you're closing the album with, you know, again, I think a lot of these songs are playing with the imagery of abomination. I think that is a theme that sticks through this record quite a bit. And I think that this song covers that in its own way. But it's, you know, it's again, it's a it's a plinky piano ballad. It's a sad boy song.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about the sad boy song?
Who wants to go? You want to go, Garden?
Yeah, sure. I like it. Mm-hmm. It's not like it doesn't super blow my skirt up or anything, but I think as an album ending ballad, it works good enough. I definitely prefer the goofy horror movie lyrics to their sincere lyrics, though.
I do think that there's like a great line near the end about I'm in the struggle looking for the fight for the right to be anything more than all right. I think aren't we all?
Yeah.
I think that's like the line of the song for me. I get what they're going for with this song. I think it works. It's a good album closer, I think. And again, it doesn't work if again you're here for them being like schlocky and over the top and you know, really leaning into that horrorcore thing, and being depressed and sad is part of that horrorcore thing, though. So it's just not the more outwardly entertaining part of that.
Yeah. I mean, I see that and I feel that. It's just when I listen to albums, like I think of, like, you know, I want an album to feel like cohesive and like have some big overarching like kind of themes and whatnot, and things sort of like are just in its context, kind of almost paint a movie for me, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I think an album that's kind of filled with like tasteless sort of lyrics and gory imagery, you know, and the skit that kills the dog, you know, you know, has it earned to have as an album, has it earned this big emotional rap ballad at the end?
Sure.
And I would say no.
Mm.
But it's kind of interesting because from a group that is supposed to sort of like lean in to sort of be shocking, mm-hmm, in their content, and their art. Sorry, I think the word content.
Content. Ooh. I actually like shuddered when I heard that word.
I apologize. I feel horrible for saying that. I apologize. but you know, when their art is supposed to be shocking, right? I kind of think this song, in a way, is like the most shocking, mm-hmm, because of just sort of, this is, remember, my first fling really into this universe. So just how overly sort of sentimental and gooey and emotionally gooey it can all be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some ways it would be easy to go after a song like this as like some corny, mushy blend,
sure,
you know, and you could kind of laugh at it. But I think that would be cruel in this case, because I do think they are allowing themselves to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it is coming from a genuine kind of heartfelt place. And I do feel that.
Mm-hmm.
It could have come across as like almost a "We Are the World," you know, sort of insincere,
oh,
you know,
boy, insincere
thing. And like just falling on its face.
Yeah.
But so even though why I think it's not an exactly like earned moment for me, I actually respect it. And I think it's pretty brave, mm-hmm, to go for something big like this. And you know, if these songs are in, you know, this genre of music, you know, where we're gonna, you know, have the kind of the fun schlocky rap songs, but now we're gonna have our kind of, and I guess that's just what to expect if you know, right?
Yeah.
So you know, I'm not really into, like, in the beginning, like, there's this like almost robotic vocal cadence, you know, they tend to misunderstand the paper man with scissor hands.
It's like, it's too nasally, and it does it, and I don't like the effect on it.
I but you know, I think the imagery of the lyrics,
It comes
actually
through.
I think is lovely.
It's pretty strong.
Yeah, and that might be because, you know, I love Edward Scissorhands. That is one of my all-time favorite movies, and they're definitely drawing from that a little,
mm-hmm,
bit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And I can't deny that there is like a really nice sort of big sound to everything. And so even if it's like heavy-handed, it doesn't quite get to me as much as like Lift Me Up, because right. there's actually, I feel like there's like this enveloping warmth mm-hmm. about it that it has over Lift Me Up. So yeah, I respect the track, and you know, I'm glad they kind of swing for the fences, you know.
It definitely it, so. Feels like a swing for the fences moment. Like, it's just kind of like, I even in the context of this album, it's just like, whoa, you're going for yeah. something. Just like, it's almost out. You sound like you are completely out of your depth, but you're managing.
Yes. Yeah. And I respect that. Like, that's, you're always gonna get like respect and you know, I'll back you on that.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
anyone who goes for that, yeah, totally.
But yeah, like I think that's a solid little closer again. You know, like you just said, swinging for the fences and nailing it. Like that's got to feel real good. And like what to do that, and it ended up being your number one streamed song on Spotify, especially when you do have yeah. other songs that have noted popularity, like. Even people that I don't listen to horrorcore or anything ICP adjacent, I know people that have heard Secondhand Smoke. I've heard Secondhand Smoke get played at a club. So I know that there's been something, you know, brewing, but for that to like, for this song to be the one
that's crazy,
the most played is wild to me.
Because it seems like it would be such a deep cut or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, this sounds like a deep cut.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts?
On the song?
On the song.
I think I've said my piece on it.
What about you, Garden?
Yeah, I don't have much more to say.
Yeah, it's kind of, all I know is that it kind of like brings tears to your eyes, and it's just kind of hard to, you know, it's kind of hard to cry when you're, you know, smiling. Which brings us to our final skit of the album, where they kind of like, you know, they end the album on a downer, but they kind of like, they pull it back, and you go back to that little, that kind of, the silliness that you have in He's Looking At Me, and you have another little moment where, like, Jamie Madrox, I think, is crying, and Monoxide's like, dude, what? Why are you crying? I'm like, I'm not crying. Why do you think I'm crying? I don't know. The runny eyes, the huffing and puffing.
We're just a couple of bitches.
A couple of crying bitches. And then they just resolved, like, well, you can't cry if you're smiling. So, you know, there's this moment of silence, and it's just like, that just looks like I had a stroke.
Oh, God, it slays me every time.
And they just, stop making me laugh. Stop making me laugh. Yeah. And then the album ends. Yeah. Like, it's just a silly little coda to the little, you know, the more serious moment that they end the album on. Yeah. It's just a stupid little skit.
So I'm going to say this.
Mm-hmm.
In all my years of listening to music, just consuming album after album, I have never heard a skit like as a final send off of an album elevate the whole album experience.
Right?
The whole point. What I mean by that is like, if you ask me to rate this album like out of 10, you know, up to this part, before the skit plays, mm-hmm. I would have given it a 6.
Mm-hmm.
But with the skit, I'm like, I give it a strong 7.
You can have that 7.
Yeah. I mean, the skit actually really makes the album for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it kind of goes from, it, you know, my feeling on that was kind of goes from, you know, it's got its moments, to more like, hey, like these twisted guys are kind of endearing, huh?
They're kind, like, yeah, like I think that's like kind
them.
Of.
I like those fellas. You know,
what I think comes across is, I think that even when the songs are bad, I think their personalities come across really strongly. And then you get these moments in the skits where it's just like, oh, you guys are actually just kind of funny, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it makes them endearing, and it makes it just like, oh, you know, like maybe I will like peek at your other work sometime. Like, I don't know. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It crossed my mind.
Yeah, I think that that's, like, actually, like, a solid way of looking at that. And that, like, yeah, like, it's definitely kind of their personalities, I think, that push you through some of the weaker moments of the album. But as far as final thoughts on the album, I think that it's almost always thematically consistent in playing with the imagery of the word abomination. I think that, like, if you look at all of the songs and all the lyrics, I think they're playing with the meaning of that, even if it's just self-referential with regards to how they are viewed in the industry, you know, because of their connections or because of, like, the scene that they are in. They are seen as a freak, as, you know, an outcast, but they're like, but we are vastly talented. We deserve more. You know, I think that, like,
yeah.
And even when they're playing it with the more literal sense and things like, you know, Blood and All I Need and extension cords and fun songs like that, like, I think that they're that, like, it consistently plays with the abomination theme. And I think that that's something that I really like, because I think that as a full album, it works for me. I think that, you know, it's like a 51-minute kind of an album, and it's a 51-minute album. You take out the skits, it's like 45 minutes. It kind of just goes by, and it feels very cohesive to me. I think that, like, the tracks that are good help keep the thing from ever tanking entirely. And again, it's just an album that, like, when I first heard it the first time, I can't believe I'm enjoying this. You know, like, that's why it really stuck with me, and why all these years later, I'm still kind of, like, shocked. Is like, this is a thing that I heard for the first time. It was literally, like, man, I just really enjoyed that. That was really good. And then it stuck with me, you know, like, I have a vinyl of it now. Final thoughts. Anybody else that would like to go?
Well, I like it. Mm-hmm. On balance, I'm not in love with it,
sure,
but some of the better songs will make its way into my liked songs playlist.
Cool, cool.
I might even be curious enough to look at some of their other stuff.
I know they've released a rock album at one point. I can't remember what it was described as. It's like that hardcore kind of, like post-hardcore kind of sound. So I don't remember the name of the album, though. I just know that they've done a rock album at some point in the last 5 years. But I've not listened to it myself, so I don't know if it's any good or not. PH!
Thank you for introducing me to Twisted.
All right, and
getting to sample, you know, a little bit of this world of, you know, Juggalo and horrorcore.
I think that you would probably enjoy an ICP album more, because their albums generally do tend to kind of lean into the schlocky bullshit. They still do, they still do stuff like this where there are, like, genuine, like, real moments of them just, you know, being themselves. But I think that, like, if you listened to, like, The Great Malenko or something, you would probably have a lot of fun.
I'm curious, you know. There's definitely, like, what Garden is saying, you know, like, I'm be interested in checking out, you know, just what this world is, because I'm a curious person, especially when it comes to music, and I always believe that even in genres you don't like,
there's
like,
something,
you can find something.
There's something redeemable.
Like, okay, that's all right. Yeah.
Of course, The Great Malenko is a fucking pro wrestling reference.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Dean Malenko.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I remember that. Yeah.
Literally, did not know that. I've known that album since 1997, and I never knew that it was a. I never knew that that was a wrestling reference.
Well, I know, like, ICP did wrestling,
pro wrestling in the 90s, and they still have a company.
Sure, that's right. That's right. They do wrestling stuff, so yeah.
But as for this album,
on the WWE Network, because they've purged all the evidence of ICP ever being involved in all three major pro wrestling companies in North America in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
Good God.
Why do
they? Yeah, they all.
That's kind of funny, because ICP is kind of getting their flowers now. Like mainstream media is kind of, like, all about, like, oh, look, these guys did this for 30 years without any recognition. Look how we ignored them the whole time and they're still successful.
Yeah.
Well,
for sure.
WWE, part of it might have been like the move to PG television, but I think a bigger part of it might have been they don't want to renew the license for their entrance music, which was ICP.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. I can see that.
So, you know, that's like, I watched an episode of House on Hulu the other day, and I was confronted by the shit ass canned music version of Teardrop by Massive Attack.
Oh no, and I'm like, oh god,
I love modern society. And on that note,
I'll let you finish your final thoughts, PH.
I think this album is, for me, is like, it's almost great. I think you could hone it down a little bit. I think you could ditch a few tracks, maybe be a little more tonally consistent, work in some ideas to kind of really, you know, feel that big emotional punch at the end. You know, instead of them kind of jarringly be like, hold my knife, we're serious. You know, I still, though, at the end of the day, I think it's definitely at its best when it's just Madrox and Monoxide. And I can tell, you can tell when people are being at their best and putting their heart into something. And that, you know, that just, it, that's always going to play well with me. And I really feel like they were really giving this one their all. You know, I think like there's some risks that they actually do here that I don't know. Again, I'm not really familiar with the rest, so maybe there's similar things they do on other albums. But I feel like they take some risks here, and you know, I think it takes some guts to do so. I think it's really fun. I think there's some really good beats. I think you could put some of these on a fun Halloween kind of playlist. And you know, it's just, it's kind of like the B horror movie, you know, that it's probably been inspired by, and, you know, in different ways, right? So I think it really hits those marks. So, yeah. Yeah, again, thanks for bringing this to the table. Cool. I won't forget it. You know? Like, I definitely won't.
I think that's the thing that all three albums are that we managed. It's like, I won't forget doing that. I won't forget that experience. And Garden's like, for better or worse. But we will be doing this whole roundtable thing again sometime next year. We got another theme in the back pocket. I don't know when we're going to do it. I don't know if I'm going to have a brain after November. So we'll just have to see. anyway, that is going to do it for now. But we will hear from us again before the year is out, because we will be doing our yearly year-end show, and I'll be around for it this time.
Yay! Woo!
Yay!
I won't just be the disembodied text floating on the screen that they have to read. I still think making Garden read the Queens of the Stone Age entry was great. That was a good call.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
But that is going to wrap it.
I don't think that was planned, because I didn't look at your shit before we started.
That is going to wrap it.
Like, yes.
That is going to wrap it up for We Like Bad Music Only for now. So, Garden, tell the internet folks at home where they can find you.
You can find me soundcloud.com/Western Desolation. For now, I'm running out of storage space and I don't want to pay for more. Or you'll find me in the Sox Discord.
Cool. PH!
I'm in the Discord.
Right. And I'm at twitch.tv/polyplushie. I'm basically polyplushie everywhere these days, even on Discord. So with all that out of the way, we are going to bid you adieu for now as we close this first season of Show and Tell. And we will catch you at the end of the year. But until then, I'm going to need you to do a quick favor and listen to more Death Grips.